Blog Talk Radio.
The Triangle Offense.
What in the hell do you think you're doing?
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
You jumped up a notch.
It did, didn't it?
Yeah.
At last, we meet for the first time for the last time.
Are you not?
And welcome to the Triangle Offense. I am your host and moderator, Matthew Long, here with my esteemed co-host. And panelists here on the Triangle Offense, from left to right, is Ryan the Kane Harris. We got Ricky Check, a.k.a. Ricky Bobby. And over here to my right, we have Brandon Beto, a.k.a. YOLO. We're going to get this thing, we're going to break this thing down like this. In case you haven't heard the show before, the way it works is I go over a series of topics and questions with our wonderful panelists here, and depending on how they answer, they will get points. The one at the end of the show that has the most points will be named the winner and will hold the belt for that week. Now, without further ado, let's go ahead and get this thing rolling. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, welcome to the main event of your evening. All right, first topic we're going to get into is collective bargaining agreements. Do they work? Do they not work? Why? Again, make sure that we check out over on TriangleOradio.wordpress.com. Ricky Bobby has an article up on the NHL season that was, and the playoffs as well. A little talk on the collective bargaining agreements, and that's our segue here. I'm going to go ahead and start this off with Mr. Ryan Harris over here. Kane, so what do you think? Are these collective bargaining agreements, are they necessary? Do they help? I mean, what's the point of it?
I think they're necessary. It is a bunch of legal mumbo-jumbo who, and a lot of people don't understand what's going on within the CBA. But for instance, for football, agreement they signed in July of 2011, in the end, the players and owners agreed that the players would receive 47 to 48.5% of all revenue. And that's a decrease from the previous agreement. With this new one, the owners were no longer allowed to take $1 billion before the revenue split. And the owners would like to increase that number of games in the regular season, right? Everywhere they want to go to 18 games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The owners do.
Right. Is that a smart move? I don't think it is. I don't think the players want 18 games. I think the majority of the fans do.
Do you?
I don't, no. Because I think I side with the players on this because in the preseason, that's where you need to get your practice. Do the starters get ample amount of playing time? The
Not
third
really.
Game they do, right? The first game, what, they play a half? Second game, they may play...
Well, first game, they're like in for, what?
A series.
A series or two.
Yeah.
And then the second game, pretty much same, maybe three series.
Mm-hmm.
Third game, by then, they're in there for at least a quarter, maybe a half, just depending. And then by sometimes the fourth game, they don't even play.
Oh, the fourth game, they don't play. But, you know, that goes back to the revenue for both sides. You know, but I think it'll put a greater strain on the players' bodies and health with the 18 games. I think it's a bad idea.
So do you think the CBA helped then?
For the 2011 agreement they signed, yes. If they go to 18 games, then no.
What about the NBA and NHL? I mean, could we say across the board this was able to help out the in particular sport?
I think for the most part CBAs work pretty well. I think they do their job. I think they get owners and players on the same page. Maybe not happy about it because, you know, people are always going to want more money. Players are always going to want more money. Owners are always going to want more money. That's just the way the world is. But for the most part, I think they do their job. I think they they set a contract between players and owners so that hopefully one and another aren't taking advantage of another for the most part.
And I mean, from the fans' perspective, I mean, you can't really like them too much because really at the end of the day, you're losing part of the season. In a lot of cases, like the NHL and basketball, you lose part of a season. You don't get to watch the sports. And at the end of the day, they were arguing over who gets money. You really don't see any change in the product. Let me get your take on it, Ricky Bobby.
Well, the CBA in itself, it does its job, eventually. The problem is getting the CBA agreed upon. That's where, as a fan, I come into and scares me. It scares the hell out of me because look at the NHL, for instance. It costed the NHL half of a season. The NFL was dangerously close to affecting their season also. And it's all about little stuff. It's a little bit here, a little bit there. Like I wrote, when we're talking about $1 or $2 million, it's a lot to me and you. But as far as that multi-million-dollar business, sometimes billion-dollar business, it's meaningless. It's a very minuscule piece, like I said, that proverbial pie that we're arguing over and potentially costing money. Look at the NHL. They lost half a season. They lost half a season's revenue from every single team that's talking about. Concessions, that's talking about ticket sales, that's talking about just loyal fans and possibly, you know, fans that are just trying to get into the game.
And that's not even to mention, like you're saying, concessions stuff. You have employees. How is this, the season of each of these sports impacts the lives of not only the fans, but the people that are, like I said, that are involved, the workers there. I mean, they rely on this income stream certain times a year in order to, you know, pay bills.
Well, it's their job. It's, you know, affecting their entire families, hundreds of families, thousands of families. When you total them all up, you know, we're talking about, we don't know how many kids these people have or how much they depend on this type of revenue in order to, you know, survive.
Not only that, you have to think about all the businesses that are affected outside of the actual organization. Think of all your sports bars, Beef O'Brady's type places, any place that makes money off of showing sports. It's hugely affected by lockouts, you know. Especially, you know, hockey's not huge in Florida. I mean, we have the Lightning and we have the Panthers, but it's not, you know, it's not as big as football and baseball are. But you have to think about places up north, like, you know, especially Canada. How much money do you think they lost out on losing half of a hockey season? How much money do you think the businesses lost out on losing half of a hockey season?
I mean, they don't get the luxury of having, you know, baseball or football really there during that time. Like, CFL is during those months, though. I mean,
they kind of run
still,
together,
but at the same time. It's not the NHL. It's not hockey. Ryan, you want to inject a little more into that?
But if you take a look at the NBA's CBA, the agreement in this new one, the owners receive between 49% and 51% of all the revenue. Previously, they had 43%. That's an increase of almost $270 million that's going to the owners. Now, people look at it and say, you know what? The players are getting less money. They make enough money in their contracts, right? Some do.
Yep.
Some don't.
Yep.
Some sit on the end of the bench, right, make league minimum, and they get done with their career and have nothing to fall back on.
Yeah.
So if they get injured and they can't provide for their family, who's paying them money for health-related issues?
I don't think the fans look at that perspective either.
No, they don't.
I don't think fans understand that, like, yeah, NFL, actually all professional athletes, we're not going to say one division, but professional athletes make too much money in the eye of your basic fan. But I don't think people realize that after their 10-year career, maybe 15-year career, in extreme cases 20-year career, that's all they have for the rest of their life. They're not in college or in school. They haven't put 10 years into some kind of career job where they've worked their way up the totem pole. That's all they have. And for a lot of athletes, you're not in any kind of condition to work after, especially you get out of the NFL. You know, you're suffering from concussions and all kinds of stuff like that to where you physically or mentally cannot handle a 9-to-5 Monday through Friday regular job.
And to that point, as far as athletes, that's all they know. It's more than me or you, because they've trained for this, they've aimed for this since they were 5 years old, 4 years old, three. When did Tiger Woods pick up his first golf club? Like 2 years old. So literally from the time he was just past an infant, this is what he's worked for. So you take that into consideration from 2 years old to 42 years old, that's 40 years out of your life that you've devoted into one particular sport, to one occupation, to make your living, and now you have to stop. It's hard. It's almost like being in prison in a way. If you're in prison for 40, 50 years and you come out, society, the entire earth, the world has changed, and you don't know how to readapt and get back into society. Not to mention you have that fame and that glamour that you can't even go to 7-Eleven without somebody, 3, 4, 5 people stopping you, wanting your autograph, take a picture, shake your hand. They can't live normal lives once they've been in that spotlight like that.
A lot of them have to try to transition into other everyday jobs. I know just in my past I've had former NFL players move into corrections when I was in the work for the Nebraska Department of Corrections. A lot of football players and whatnot moving into and transitioning into regular jobs. It does make it difficult after living a certain lifestyle and then having to go
and live a totally completely different one.
Yeah, and still work hard to try to gain certain attributes, but it's different than what you were doing before. It's not training, it's working. And they're two completely different things.
And not only that, when these college athletes are in school, they're leaving after 3 years for the NFL. You have guys like
sometimes
Kobe Bryant.
Sometimes one for basketball.
You have guys like Kobe Bryant, Tracy McGrady, Kevin Garnett, who came straight out of high school, who never had any college experience at all. So when they're finished, they have to make the money that they can now, because it literally has to last them there the rest of their lives.
They also have to be smart with the money they make in their contracts.
Yeah, because it has to provide for them. It has to provide for their spouse, provide for their kids. We're talking about bills. I mean, yeah, they have these nice houses, but you know what? They've worked for that. They've devoted their entire lives to get to that point. Paid too high, sure, but whose fault is that? That's nobody's fault but the owners. The owners are the ones that are paying them, and the owners are the ones that are... If somebody offered me $200 million to go and play baseball, I'm signing it right away. I'm not thinking twice about it.
Yeah, you're not going to say, oh, that's way too much money, I don't deserve that money.
I mean,
you're not saying that.
Well, the best people at their job deserve the most money, let's be honest. If you're the best at whatever it is you do, it doesn't matter from picking up trash to serving tables to playing baseball or anything else that you can think of. If you're the best at what you do, you expect to get paid the most. And it's as simple as that, for especially athletes. If they're the best, I think they should get paid the most.
And you're going to get as much as you could possibly get out of it.
Yep, as fast as you possibly can, because tomorrow is not promised.
Never is.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap this up. We're going to head into the next topic. I think we had a pretty clear winner in that round.
Fucking me. All right, let's roll.
And that son of a bitch was Mr. Harris.
Oh.
Pulling the upset in the first round.
Shenanigans.
Coming back from last week. Because his best argument last week, in my opinion, was, I like it.
That's it.
In stereo.
That's stupid. It.
Ryan takes that first round.
Props given.
It's a long season.
It's a very long season. Says the title holder. And by the way, Ricky Bobby is the champion right now. He currently holds that belt, and we're going to have to see if he's going to be able to hold on to it tonight. Look at Harris, first round, killing it. All right, we are going to get into a new topic, and after this, I'm going to give you a scoring total, and I think we have a pretty clear-cut winner that time around. Back to you after this.
Sports radio host, producer, news anchor. A few of many, many more careers that the Connecticut School of Broadcasting can lead you to. Go CSB.com or 1-800-TV-RADIO to schedule your studio tour. With an on-hands approach and instructors being broadcast professionals themselves, you're guaranteed to get a first-class learning experience. Get your career in the broadcasting field started the right way. Sports radio host, producer, news anchor. The Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Go CSB.com or 1-800-TV-RADIO to schedule your studio tour.
And you're listening to the Triangle Offense on WCSB Sports. All right, we're going to get into... we're going to spin it along and get into a little bit of college football.
Never too early for college football.
Never too early. We're going to We're going to do our predictions for the year, kind of break down conference by conference. This week we're working on the Atlantic Coast Conference, the ACC. I'm going to let YOLO's going to start this this section off. How do you see the ACC shaping out? Is it going to be a better conference as it was last year, or is it going to be at the bottom of the ring?
Well, I think to start, the first, I guess my top three teams, as listed, I got number one Clemson, number two FSU, and number three Miami. For the most part, I think Clemson has a strong team returning. They have their quarterback, which I think is obviously the most important piece, especially in college football, in the game to come back. He's coming back with his offensive coordinator. Taj Boyd, the quarterback, and the offensive coordinator is coming back, so that's impressive. They have their defenses should improve. Their second season under their defensive coordinator, Brent Venables, I believe his name is. So I think they have a very strong team, a very strong foundation coming back. You look at FSU. FSU has to reload this year. Jimbo Fisher comes back, fired five people on his staff. Huge, huge loss to me. I think people don't understand how much the staff means. You know, everybody wants to point the blame to the head coach and don't understand how much of a group thing it is. They lost their quarterback in E.J. Manuel. They lost their defensive end in Warner to the draft. I think they're in a reloading phase, but I think they have enough talent to still finish second in the ACC. And then bringing up the rear, I have Miami. Miami, to me, is the dark horse. I think they have a good shot at winning it. I just don't think the experience is there. They have a rookie of the year at running back. The guy's a monster. I think his name's Duke Johnson. And then they have one of the possible best O-lines. But, you know, to me, possibility isn't a sure thing, so that's why I have them ranked third. As far as an overall conference, I think the ACC can be strong. I don't think they're anywhere near the SECs of the world or even the Big Ten or the Big 12. But I think that they can be a strong conference. I think they're a little weak on the bottom half with teams like Duke that you never even hear of in football.
Can they compete with the AAC?
Yeah, I think so. I think they could. I think they can practically. I think the top three teams can compete with almost any team in the nation. I just think after you get past the Clemson, Miami, FSU, they fall off really hard.
All right. Ricky Bobby?
Well, first of all, let me preface this by saying we're asking who's going to be the best team in the All-Cupcake Conference. So
exactly.
That right there, I'm just so what I have to do here is I have to look for the icing.
The baker's dozen. That's what we're going for.
We're talking about cupcakes. The best part of a cupcake is the icing. Now, you mentioned FSU. You mentioned FSU lost E.J. Manuel. A quarterback's best friend, whether he's been in there for 5 years or 5 minutes, he's got two of them. The running game, the offensive line. Florida State's got Devontae Freeman and James Wilder Jr. coming back this year. They have four out of their five offensive linemen returning. So that quarterback, albeit a new quarterback, like you said, is going to have a new staff, so everybody will be learning the playbook together. Everybody's on the same page. They're going to be the ones finishing. They're the icing in the ACC. It's going to be Florida State. They also, you mentioned Bjorn Werner being lost to the NFL. Cornelius Carradine had 11 sacks, second in the ACC. Now Clemson, I think Clemson could be a close second, albeit because of Taj Boyd. The reason why they don't finish first is DeAndre Hopkins, their leading receiver, is gone pro. When you lose your top wide receiver, I don't care if you're Tom Brady or if you're anybody, if you lose a top wide receiver, you're done.
He went there. He went Brady. So Tom Brady is God.
Hey, Tom Brady could do that.
Tom Brady could do that.
But I see FSU being the icing in the All-Cupcake Conference there.
I didn't hear what you said. Who's your dark horse? Who do you see coming out of nowhere in the Cupcake Conference? Who's coming off the bottom of the baking pan?
Who's coming off the bottom of the baking pan there?
Yeah.
I think the team you're going to have to look out for is going to be Syracuse. Syracuse, they lost their quarterback, but their defense is still there. Their defense is still strong. Syracuse is my dark horse.
All right. Mr. Harris?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Kane Harris, who you got?
C-A-N-E, Kane.
What did he say?
C-A-N-E,
there
Kane.
There it is. All right.
Yeah. That's just error. I spelt it wrong, so those of you that were looking at that...
you spelled something else wrong on there, too, didn't you?
Nope, nothing else.
No.
Everything else was spelt correctly.
In your eyes.
In the eyes of smartphones that aren't so smart.
So, I went back and forth with my decision after Matt told us, hey, we're going to be talking about the ACC conference today. I went back and forth between Florida State, Clemson, Miami. Those are the three teams I agree with Brandon, with the top three teams.
I think we can all agree those will be the top three.
Virginia Tech, they're normally at the top. Somewhere near the top, not this year. not this coming up year.
They started out that way last year and
they did.
Quickly sank.
As did Duke. When you pad that schedule early on, like USF used to do,
you look a lot better.
Than you really are.
Yep.
Yeah.
So everyone's gonna think I'm a homer, but guess what? I'm picking the Canes. Why? They have 20 returning starters. Ten on offense, 10 on defense. They lose one running back on offense who got drafted by the Bucks, Mike James.
Mm-hmm.
They lose a corner. Their offensive line fully intact. Led by Brandon Linder. He's a guard. He's been a starter since he was a freshman.
Four or five-star recruit, wasn't he?
He was actually a four-star recruit. His brother actually just committed to Miami as well. Then you have Henderson, who anchors that line. He's a behemoth. 6'7", 360. He's a beast.
Behemoth, I like that.
Yeah, you like that.
I'm going to add that one to the list, behemoth.
There you go.
Right next to Gargantuan.
Gargantuan. Then you got Duke Johnson, freshman All-American, 842 rushing yards last year. He almost broke Willis McGahee's all-purpose yardage. I think he was short by like 150 yards.
Kid's going to be a
phenomenal running back. On the defensive side, where they actually sucked last year. They were, I want to say 115 out of 119.
I think
they
nicely, man.
Sucked.
They
but you know
bad.
What?
You got 10 of them coming back.
That's what happens when you start freshmen, true freshmen and true sophomores. Okay? But what that does is it gives them all this playing experience. They know the system. They're not changing from coordinators. So they have some continuity there on the defensive side of the ball, whereas in recent years they were switching defensive coordinators almost every other year. So those young guys have a lot of experience coming back. The only question mark in my eyes is the defensive backfield. We lost Brandon McGee to the draft. We have Tracy Howard coming back, who was a five-star recruit out of Miami. In my opinion, they have the best offensive line in the country right now. They have the best wide receiving core in the country right now. Burners. 4-2, 4-3 guys is burners. Philip Dorsett leads that unit. Tight end, they brought in a junior college guy who was the top-ranked tight end from junior college. His name is Bo Sandlund. Receiving threat, great at blocking. He's an all-around tight end. On the other side of the conference, I have Clemson winning that. I just think Florida State, as much as I want to root for Florida State or don't want to root for Florida State, they have that question at quarterback. Everyone is blowing up this kid Winston.
And it's been like that for the last 3 years at quarterback for the Seminoles.
I don't think they've had a solid quarterback before E.J. Manuel got there. I never thought E.J. Manuel was a consistent quarterback enough to win anything special.
What bothers me with Florida State is they are always the preseason national champions. Always. They always get, rivals ranked number two, number one class every single year.
Every year.
You have that problem. You have that problem with Ohio State and Michigan as well.
But with Ohio State, they
went
12-0 under probation. You know what I mean?
Oh, I agree.
But with Florida State, they're always reloading. They're always at the top of the recruiting rankings. But yet, at the end of the year, they're losing to NC State. They're losing to Wake Forest.
They're 8-4, 9-3, not dominating at all.
I don't know if it's coaching. I think Jimbo Fisher's a great coach, a great recruiter.
He had to fill big shoes.
Can he finish?
He had to fill big shoes.
Yes. But you know what?
I think that weighs on you a little bit. I think especially even though he was an assistant under Bobby Bowden for God knows forever, I think it weighs on you. I think having to come in and think that you have to be perfect and think that you have to be Bobby Bowden and think that you have to bring, 10 years to finish in the top five, something ridiculous like that. You know, I think a lot of pressure was put on Jimbo Fisher to come in. And it's like immediately he was supposed to win the national championship because he was the heir to Bobby Bowden.
Well, especially at the end of Bobby Bowden's career there, he was losing games left and right.
Well, he was kicked out of the door. He wanted one more year, and it was like, nah,
and that's a shame
leaving.
Because Bobby Bowden, even though he's Florida State, he was a great coach and a great person.
You can't
all
take that. You can never take that away from Bobby Bowden.
Well,
he built that. He built that school.
He was welcomed back, actually, to the school this year. He's going to be attending, I believe, it's two football games, one of which he will be honored in.
Oh, that's good for them. They're making the right move there because to kick that man out of your organization after everything that he did for FSU is just insane to me. I thought they handled that horribly, but
Is he not the leading coach in wins?
Yeah. I believe he's second under the gentleman from Grambling.
Yeah, I think he's. I think he's
Eddie
second.
Robinson.
I think he's second as well.
Okay.
Still, Joe. When
we're talking about top five,
yeah.
I mean,
and
that,
you kick him out the door when he only won in one more year.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Because Joe Paul had a bunch of wins vacated
right.
because of the scandal.
Yes.
Penn State.
But with Clemson, you look at Taj Boyd, you look at Sammy Watkins on the outside. That kid can run.
Yeah.
That kid can play ball. He's out of Fort Myers. You know, he's another kid from Florida who just blazes.
Yep.
No pun intended there, right?
No pun intended.
Okay.
Because you know us kids from Florida, we like to blaze that green.
You know it.
You know what? I was strongly leaning Clemson winning the conference, but after hearing Thang's comments over here, I think Mr. Ben Grimm might have stolen another round there.
He might have.
He's coming hard this week,
fellas. Absolutely.
He's coming hard, like
hard
Ron Jeremy.
Hard and prepared.
As I scoop my chair a little further away from him.
Yeah, that's all right.
He can reach.
That's a banana in my pocket.
I like it.
I don't like it.
You're sitting the closest to him.
I'm getting a little nervous.
Don't sit on people's laps when we're in the studio. You'll be fine.
I love it.
All right. We're moving on to the next topic. So how we're stacking it up here. Ryan is taking a commanding lead here.
3 zillion million trillion to 0? Or
how about we just take the basic numbers? 2, 1, 3, 4, 5, 0.
I'll even take hundreds.
Yeah. Let's just.
YOLO can only count up to whatever fingers and toes he has. So I'll
20.
Make it simple.
I can only really get to 20, man. After that, it makes it hard for me. It makes it really hard for me.
It's all right. It's all right. We'll help you out.
Thank you. Thank you.
You can use my toes.
Yes. So I'm up to 30 now. Any other donations of toes?
I only have 4 on each foot.
Whoa! 38 now, baby. We're climbing high.
And I'm a great swimmer because I have feet like duck.
He lost them in the war.
That's true.
Literally. Veteran.
Let's roll.
Respect.
Hashtag.
Hashtag. All right, we're moving on to the third topic. But before that, we're going to take a quick break here, pay some bills, and we'll be back with a little bit of Floyd Mayweather, Sal Alvarez.
WCSB Sports and MRN Broadcasting, powered by blogtalkradio.com.
I am Nigel O'Leary with your Giesel.net WCSB Sports Update. Game 1 of the NBA Finals was every bit as dramatic as we'd hoped it to be, with the Spurs' Tony Parker hitting a clutch shot to push the advantage 4 points. The Heat were unable to surmount a comeback with 0.09 seconds left in regulation. The Spurs were victorious 92-88 in Miami. Game 2 is Saturday, also in Miami. Elsewhere in the world of basketball, Dennis Rodman, back from North Korea, was on the Dan Patrick Show earlier today and had this to say.
If LeBron was playing in the late 80s and early 90s, he was just an average player. I mean, but to do what Michael had done, I mean, dude, seriously, Michael did what he did. It was more charisma. It was more articulate and stuff like that. LeBron is more like, boom, okay? There ain't no flash to his game. I mean, he's a great player. Don't get me wrong. He's a hell of a player. Give him that, you know, to be a side, stuff like that. But for me, I think Scottie and Michael are probably the two best 1-2 punches I've ever seen, dude. Seriously, I've ever seen. And I would say that with Joe Dumars and Isaiah Thomas, stuff like that. But LeBron and Michael, I mean, Scottie is saying that, you know, LeBron is the best player he's ever seen. I'm like, I don't know. Did you see Jordan win 10 NBA scoring titles? Did you see LeBron come out there and put stuff like that? But today's game has changed so much. If Michael plays today, really, if he played the game today at 28 years old today, he would average 40 points a game, or probably more. So average that, easy. I mean, that's why he's sweaty. You know, LeBron has to do one thing. He has to go out there and work his ass off and keep Dwayne Wade and Bosh on top. Because all of a sudden now, when the team of Miami gets down and for the game, he has to go turn it up. He has to turn it up. Nobody else has to turn it up. He has to go turn it up. And nobody even sees that thing. I'm just sick and tired of people always comparing him and Michael Jordan. It's a whole different color, man.
Major League Baseball's investigation into PED use in the sport and the 20-some athletes that it's looking to suspend and ban from the sport continues on today, and Dennis Rodman had nothing much to say in regards to North Korea and pretty much refused to answer most all questions. Frank Thomas, who's on the verge of heading to the Hall of Fame, lends his opinion earlier today, saying, "When I played, guys all said, let's get to the Hall of Fame. Now guys are like, let's do 5 years and make $150 million and we're set for life. Who cares?" I think that's feeling among most of the guys now. There will be more on this investigation when it is available. And this has been your Giesel.net WCSB Sports Update with Nigel O'Leary.
All right, we're back. Enjoying a little bit of time there. Doing a tally up again. Ryan is pulling a big. He was eliminated first round last week.
But I also suck, so that's.
He was eliminated for lots of reasons.
It
was academic prowess was part of it, and we had to suspend him for the rest of the show. All right, Ryan's up right now. He's sitting in first, and we got a tie in second place between Ricky and Brandon. This is going to be a big round, because at the end of this round, someone's getting eliminated.
Be gone.
Chopped. Insert sound effect.
Yes. Insert scary sound effect or chopped sound effect, anything that would heighten the reason of someone getting eliminated.
Okay.
10-4.
Note taken. All right. Floyd Mayweather Jr. has agreed and went out on Twitter and said he will take the fight against Sal Canelo Alvarez at the junior middleweight level or super welterweight, whatever one you want to call it. It's the same thing. 154-pound weight class. Sal did say he was like, if I'm going to take this fight with Mayweather, I'm doing it at my weight, the weight that he has two belts in already. Now, Mayweather's been knocked in the past for basically ducking fights or fighting fighters outside their prime, finding a way to reach his 44-0. Tremendous record at that. I'm going to start out here with Ricky Bobby. Do you think Floyd's going to go through with this fight, or is he going to duck him like Pacquiao?
I think Floyd's going to go through with it. I think Floyd, money talks to him. He's all about making money. And when you're good at what you do, like Mayweather is, when you have an opportunity to make money, that kind of amount of money, he trains hard, and he looks forward to these fights. Pacquiao, I think, was a different monster than Alvarez was. Again, I'm not too sure what the reason was why he decided not to want. You know, I know he had all these hoops he had to shoot through and whatnot, but I think Mayweather's going to go through with it. I actually think Mayweather will beat Alvarez come September 14th when that time comes.
I think that Mayweather has gotten a bad rep for dodging fights. I don't think he's dodged fights as much as he's just in it for the money. I think it's as simple as that. I think the guy just likes making money. You can't argue that he's not one of the best at what he does. He is extremely good at what he does. So there's nothing that you can say about that. I feel like he's going to take the fight. I don't think he's going to ditch it. I feel that he's in it for the money at this point of his career. I think early on in his career he was willing to fight anybody that stepped in his way, which is why he's had 45 fights. But I think as he got older, he realized, hey, if I can just keep beating the crap out of people that may not be as high as an ability as mine, I can keep making an obscene amount of money, which I can't blame the guy for doing. He's being smart about it. No one wants to end up, you know, God rest his soul and all that good stuff, but no one wants to end up like Muhammad Ali. I don't care if you paid me $100 million and then said, the last 30 years of your life, you're going to live like that, because I wouldn't take that. I think that he understands that, and I think that he's pretty much taking the smart way in fighting people that, again, may not be as high as ability, but he's going to make a killing off of.
So, basically breaking down, we're looking at it's about the it's
about the almighty dollar right now. Money Mayweather, that's where he gets nicknamed, the money.
I don't like saying it's all about the money, but I'm saying that the older he gets, the more he realizes, hey, the more times I get punched in my head, more chances I'm going to look like Muhammad Ali.
Do you think he can beat Alvarez?
Oh, yes. I think he's going to dominate. I think the guy is second, maybe third to the Ali Tyson era. I think he's our generation of Ali Tyson. I think he's our generation of, no matter who gets in the ring, I'm going to be the favorite, and I'm going to win. He's too good. Too fast, too quick, too good.
That's a big statement right there.
And Mayweather is very, very methodical when he's in the ring. He's not the kind of guy that's just going to go right at you. He's going to wait you out. If he gets a knockout, great. But he's going to wait you out those first four, five, six rounds. He's going to let you wear yourself out, and then he's going to start, you know, strategically throwing his punches. And he's a very thought process kind of fighter. He's not just going out there just wailing. He knows
cerebral.
What he's doing.
Cerebral.
He's cerebral.
Very cerebral.
He's
fighter.
A very cerebral fighter. Thank you, YOLO.
Ryan?
I'm going to give you my 2 cents, and then I'll elaborate on those 2 cents, okay?
10-4.
I could give two shits about this boxing match, and I'll tell you why. I hate boxing. I used to love it, but I hate it now. You know why?
I like
There's 57,000 different belts you can win. There's 27 million different divisions, right?
Sounds like our point system here.
I know. Who cares? There's no marquee matchups anymore. Brandon just said Mayweather is his or that generation's Tyson. I'm a little older. Tyson was in my generation. I watched when Tyson fought Holyfield in college. We would throw keg parties for a Tyson-Holyfield match. For Buster Douglas when I was in sixth grade watching him knock out Tyson. You know what I mean? Those were big fights. They don't even have heavyweight marquee names anymore. Who? Klitschko?
Yeah.
That's it.
Outside of Klitschko, yeah. It's not his fault. Klitschko's kind of fought anybody since, I think Lennox Lewis, I guess, was the last guy that he fought that was actually a fight.
Right. There's just no more big name heavyweight fights. And you know why I want to see heavyweights? Because they knock bitches out.
And Klitschko, the Klitschko brothers are from the Tyson, Holyfield.
Yeah.
The
older area. The older era.
The late George Foreman.
I think with us, though, I think with my generation, I should say, I think it's more UFC generation. I think the boxing has definitely fallen off the radar and kind of not been relevant for a while now. Because when you think about fight nights, when you say fight nights to my generation doesn't think boxing. My generation thinks Brock Lesnar versus Shane Carwin.
That's right.
We think Anderson Silva versus whoever he's beating the hell out of, Chael Sonnen, I guess, most recently. You know, that's what we think of. So I think that boxing just kind of lost this generation by not maintaining that high level of the best fighting the best and making it more about money and less about the fight.
Well, I think the older generation has also lost interest because the more fights you watch, the more you think that the shit is rigged.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Look at, Matt brought up a great fight, the Mayweather-Bradley fight.
Yep.
That was horrible. Bradley, after the fight, said, I have no idea how I won that fight.
Pacquiao?
I have no clue. Pacquiao Bradley,
sorry. Yeah, Pacquiao Bradley.
Right. Yeah. Bradley said, I have no idea how I won this fight. How did I win this fight?
The boxing commission came back and said, Pacquiao actually won the fight.
And didn't overchange it.
Yeah, they're not going to overturn it.
Yeah, that's a dumb rule. That's stupid.
Before them boys even stepped into the ring, there were rematch clauses in the contract.
Yeah. See, that's what I don't like. I mean, there usually is rematch clauses just because simply, okay, if we fight for 12 rounds and it's a really good fight and I'm the champion, I want a chance back at my title. That's usually how it works.
I want to see knockouts. I want to see people. I used to get pissed off when I would pay $60 to watch Tyson knock some kid out in 90 seconds.
Now you want it back.
And now I want it back.
Yep.
Make me come back and watch the sport, because I used to love the sport.
Make it less about the money, make it more about the fights, and give me a reason to watch it. Because the only reason you're giving me to watch it now is a name. I don't want to hear just a name. I want to hear a fight.
Ryan hit on a good point there. The last pay-per-view I paid for was the first bout on Mike Tyson's comeback tour against, I can't remember the guy's name off the top, the Cajun guy.
And he got beat.
He quit. He got knocked out through the ropes.
Yeah, he quit. He didn't even want to be in there.
It looked, and ever since that moment, it kind of, to me, well, when he fought Evander Holyfield and Lennox Lewis, not so much there, but after that, I kind of noticed boxing, in my opinion, started to look kind of rigged. I just kind of end up losing. It lost the luster of the love I had for the sport, the art of being able to basically...
The showmanship. It lost the showmanship. Yeah. When you think about great fighters like Muhammad Ali, you know, the spiel of, I don't know if you guys, I'm going to show you how great I am. You know, he's talking about, oh, I've wrestled an alligator, I've tussled a whale, handcuffed lightning, I've thrown thunder in jail. That is the showmanship of boxing. You don't have that showmanship anymore. You don't have that braggadocious character that says, I mean, Mayweather kind of used to be that character, but again, it was more about the money and less about the fight. Ali didn't want money as much as he simply wanted to be the greatest ever, and he was.
And Ali would go out there and just prove to you that, look, I'm better than you. He would dance in front of you. You would hit him. You would hit him two or three times, and he's just sitting there looking at you, smiling, like, okay, nodding his head, like, is that all you got? Come on, bring some more.
Yeah,
bring some more.
The showmanship. I think the biggest thing that the boxing has lost is the showmanship of the sport. I think people are so wrapped up, especially the fighters, you know. What Mayweather, Pacquiao never fought, probably, you know, the reason they gave us was, oh, he didn't want to get drug tested. But I'd be willing to put $100 on it that one of them wasn't getting enough money.
I would rather watch the Rocky series than watch boxing.
I second that in a heartbeat.
I'll take it even a step further. I think boxing has just lost all integrity altogether.
One more point, yeah, if I can. In that Pacquiao-Bradley fight, the promoter, he was both their promoters.
Don King used to do that all the time, though.
Well, yeah. So who stands to make the most money?
Yeah.
The promoter, right?
Yeah, of course.
So what better way is to have a rematch?
Yep.
So have Bradley win.
And then have your rematch.
Don King
used to do the same thing. Don King would promote both fighters, and you're like...
And I think he was the one that started to go on the downside.
I think that. If I'm watching a sport, I shouldn't know the promoter's name. If I'm watching baseball, I don't need to know the athlete's agent's name.
That's why UFC is
irrelevant.
Because if the fans say, hey, I want to see this person and this person fight to
Dana White makes it happen.
Dana White will make it happen.
Yep.
The next day.
Yep.
If a fighter has a bad fight, he'll get a rematch quick.
Yep.
To kind of go off what you said, Dana White saw that in boxing and saw boxing went away from it, so he capitalized, and that's why UFC is as big as it is, because he took everything that we loved about boxing and put it in the UFC.
I think that again, is a great point that you're making there. But to get back to kind of Floyd Mayweather here, I'm kind of on the fence here. I'm rooting for Mayweather to lose. Because
who isn't?
I suck at that. I'm rooting for him to lose, but you know, rooting for him to lose and thinking he's going to lose, two different things.
I don't know, because looking over his last few fights, the biggest fight, the one that really stuck out the most to me was against Shane Mosley. Again, he's fighting again a fighter outside his prime, takes the fight, big pay per view event. And I started thinking more along the lines, okay, it's rigged. He's paying people off, you know. Shane Mosley had him dead to rights in the second round, beating him up, had him against the ropes, swinging to the face, the body. Mayweather was running. He didn't know what to do.
He was jabbing and running.
He was trying to get away from it. He couldn't get away from him. But for some reason, something snapped, and Mosley backed off.
Yeah, I think old age too. He's out of his prime. He can't chase a Mayweather around the ring for three.
When you have a guy against the ropes like that,
I agree.
You gotta go for it. And he didn't.
I agree.
He seen he had him there, it's like something hit his head, he's like, oh wait, I gotta get out of box mode. I'm gonna lose my money.
Yep. I agree with that.
I'm not putting any words in his mouth and not saying that this actually happened, but
the way you saw it.
The way I saw it is like, okay, he doesn't want to be the first person to beat Money Mayweather, and even that, knock him out, technical knockout, whatever, maybe there's a back-end investment there. So, I mean, I kind of go with what Ryan was saying. It
seems as if it's rigged.
It seems kind of rigged, and it's lost its luster. I used to love it for the art of what it was, when I could see Michael Moore and George Foreman fight.
Throwing shots at each other, too.
Yeah.
Just abusing each other.
Yeah.
Big,
abusing each
big
other.
Big bombs. Even go down to Roy Jones Jr. That guy was
Roy
amazing.
Jones he was a beast. Pound for pound.
I mean, think about Oscar De La Hoya in his prime.
Yeah.
And
that was
Golden
another
boy.
Bring him back to Mayweather. There's another fighter he took outside his prime. I mean,
As you look at it as a whole career, it seems as though you can make an easy case of him just keeping the belt and making as much money as possible.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people take shots at Bernard Hopkins. Yeah, the guy keeps taking fights.
Yep.
And it's not
he's
not
trying to prove himself.
And he's old as the dirt on the bottom of his shoes, but the guy's
fighting.
A boxer.
He keeps fighting, man.
He shows the art of the sport. I like watching. You know what's going to happen. It's going to come down to a decision, and Hopkins is going to win because he's smart. He's old, but he makes the right moves. He takes the angles. It's all about the awkward angles that Bernard Hopkins creates, and that's why he's able to score points. Again, every sport we look at all comes down to this. Score points, more points than the other person, you win. That's every single sport we talk about. Boxing is no different. It's just about taking the angles, scoring those points, landing shots, big shots, you know, and that's what Hopkins does. Now, Mayweather seems to duck big fights, seems to take the fights that would normally be big fights with
10 years ago.
10 years ago.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the Pacquiao Mayweather 2023 when they're like 50 years old.
Yeah, you know, he said he's taken five more fights or 50 fight, the 50th fight, whichever, because he said five more fights, so that's 49. It's kind of a weird number to stop at. I think he's going to go to 50. He'll probably say 49, and then he'll say, I'll come back for one more and make it an even 50. Something, you know, that's going
to make him more money.
Yeah, something that's going to make him more money, but I think this is going to be the one lone fight where
someone has a chance to beat him.
If Alvarez, well, the thing is, Cotto had a chance to beat him. Cotto wasn't fighting like Cotto does. Cotto, I think Cotto can beat Mayweather. I mean, Miguel could have beat him too. So, but the thing is, or Manuel could have beat him, but he didn't. You know, it just when you see a guy kiss a guy in the head, and then, you know, you think there's time, your hands up, you're looking at the referee, and somebody takes a cheap shot and knocks him out. I mean, that seemed pretty freaking staged to me. So,
well, you know, he's got to get those paydays because he's, you know, you heard the rumor about him putting down a hefty bet on the Heat. He took the spread at -7. Well, the rumor is he took the spread at -7 and laid down like close to $4 million.
And that's what I was going to get to about Mayweather. You mentioning Mayweather possibly paying the other fighter. Mayweather makes bets and makes decisions that makes him money. He doesn't usually spend the money to make it. He makes smart, calculated choices. Now, if he were to pay the other fighter, that would cut into his profit. That wouldn't be very intelligent for him, whereas he can just come out, outright beat you, and take the entire purse for himself without spending out a dime.
Yeah, but which would you rather take? I'll give you option A. You're going to make $20 million in the fight, fighting whoever no matter what. Okay, would you take the chance of getting your ass kicked or getting knocked out or paying, let's say, $2 million and guaranteeing yourself that you'll not get nothing bad's going
to
happen to you?
But how much are you going to have to pay that other fighter for to make it
of
worthwhile?
Course,
so
of
that,
course.
That's what I'm talking about.
But
it's not Mayweather, hang on, it's not just a little bit, okay? We're going to, if, say I'm paying you to fight me and I want you to go down.
Yeah.
Say I win $5 million if I win, and you win $2 million if you lose.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to at least pay you $3 million, correct?
Well, no. What I'm trying to say is that if we come into an agreement that this fight can happen, as long as you take it easy on me and go 12 rounds, and I take it easy on you and don't win, I'll take that fight any day of the week if I'm a veteran like De La Hoya or who else did he just fight? Those old Mosley. I'll take that fight any day of the week. Because I'm guaranteeing that I'm not going to get knocked out. I'm guaranteeing that I'm going to get money. And I know that your name is going to make me a lot of money. It doesn't matter who shows up to the fight with Mayweather. It's going to be pay-per-viewed no matter what.
But look at Mayweather's... Look at the way he presents himself. He's very cocky.
I agree.
I don't think he's going to go out there and pay you money just so that way he can win. Because, obviously, his career didn't start out that way.
I agree.
He came out there and he started beating up on everybody.
Yep.
So I think that progressed his confidence. Obviously, that's progressed his workout. And I just think he knows he can go out there. And I think the difference is he's only going to take, I agree with, he's only going to take the fights he knows he can win. I don't think he's paying the other guy to lose. I think he's taking the fights that he knows he can win.
I would agree with that.
And when it comes back to as far as Mayweather, do I want Mayweather to win or lose? I actually want him to win because as sad as this is, boxing last hope right now is Floyd Money Mayweather. If he loses,
What's next for boxing?
That's another perfect. I'm happy you made my argument for me. That's a perfect reason why you want to go ahead and pay the other guy. Because if I'm 44-1-0, it's a whole lot different and a whole lot different money than I'm 45-0 going into my next fight. And by the way, Floyd Mayweather is the top paid athlete in the world. He has an exclusive contract with HBO to do his fights, $32 million a year, regardless if he fights at all. Just to kind of put this in perspective, the television contract for the Big East was $20 million for the conference. The new contract for the SEC is $30 million per team. Floyd Money Mayweather is making $32 million a pop per year on his television contract. That's more than any of the SEC teams.
This is tough. All right, we're going to take that into a quick break here. Coming out of this break, I will tell you who got eliminated, and we're going to be getting into a little bit of discussion here on the enormously inflated contract that is and has become Alex Rodriguez.
And you're listening to the Triangle Offense on WCSB Sports.
Hey all, this is Matthew Long with the Cold Hard Truth on Sports and the Triangle Offense. Now, I know you've heard me talk about the Touch Pro Basketball on my shows before. My boy, Tony Greer, is the inventor of the ball. Now, if you're out there training and playing basketball and you don't have this ball, you're missing out. Because it's going to help you improve your hand-eye coordination, your dribbling, and your shooting skills. So go, get the ball today at aragingbowl.com. Now, I'm sure a lot of you listeners are just like me. You like to spend a little time on the internet, sharing video, looking at video, but the problem is you can't stream live if you're playing on Tumblr or YouTube. Well, if you go right now to Giesel.net, you can sign up for your free account and start streaming live and share that with all of your friends. That's Giesel.net, GEALZ.net.
All right, we're back after the tally and conversing with the judges that don't really exist. Finishing in third place that round, Ryan. He went from the top to the bottom, straight to the shitter in that round. Even
boxing sucks assholes, plain and simple.
It was a close round. Somebody has to finish last.
That's okay.
Know?
No, I'm not mad.
And then Ricky Bobby, you know his phrase, if you're not first, you're last. Unless you're Ryan, then you really are last.
That's right.
And Ricky Bobby actually finished in second that round. So the champ goes down in the first round.
No, first elimination.
First round elimination. That's the first
round. You didn't let me finish.
Yeah.
10-4, let's roll.
Yeah, now that you've been working out.
Yeah.
And the winner of that round was YOLO. So that's I think really what did it was that Muhammad Ali quote.
I like that shit.
Oh, by the way, I know that whole thing. That's my boy. Ali is my boy.
It's tatted on his lower back.
No, it's not.
I got Thug Life tatted on my chest.
That is false. That is also false, folks. We are not those. No, stop.
Thug Life is right above a
Hello
Kitty tat.
You ever hear about how he flipped the light switch off in the room? He was in bed before the room was dark. Muhammad Ali said that.
Yeah?
Yep.
All right.
Think about how fast that is. That's how fast he was.
He's quick?
He's quick. His last name for a reason.
All right.
Why is that? Because he's quick.
The championship round.
Let's roll.
All right. So, Alex Rodriguez has this tremendous, overly inflated contract, 10 years with the New York Yankees, and he obviously over the last couple of years just has not been producing. Let me start out here with YOLO. Do you think he's been able to weigh out his worth in contract?
Not at all. The guy has been a bust. Outside of 2009, he has yet to really produce in the postseason. And you look at his postseason numbers. I'll give it to Alex Rodriguez. In 2009, Alex Rodriguez almost practically carried that team to the World Series and practically won the World Series for the team. But outside of 2009, the guy has not hit over 270 in a postseason series. He's yet to do that. He's horrible in the postseason. He's horrible in the clutch. He is not 100% at all clutch. It's ridiculous. And this is what I don't understand. I will give it to Alex Rodriguez that he may be a good regular season hitter, and you can't take that away from him. But do you pay anybody in this league 10 years, $275 million to be a good regular season player?
No, not at all.
Thank you. That's my sole purpose here is to say that Alex Rodriguez in the postseason has failed time and time again. There was one postseason, I want to say it was 2010 maybe, he batted 071 for a series. Not for a game, for a series. That is beyond pathetic for an athlete that is paying $25 million plus a year.
Okay, not trying to stack it in his favor. We are sticking to Alex Rodriguez's contract with the Yankees. We're not going in because we could say he was phenomenal.
Yes, we can all agree. When he Yankees, was in he was phenomenal.
On roids and everything.
Yes.
Allegedly.
He
was on the list.
He admitted to it. He did admit it to it. While he was with the Rangers, he used steroids.
He cried?
Yes.
He shed tears.
I don't think he shed tears. But getting back to the point is, in 2011 and 2012, he hit 16 home runs, 18 home runs, respectively, and drove in something like 62 RBIs and 57 RBIs.
Between the 2 years.
Those were his numbers each year. Those were his numbers. And for some reason, people think that that's worth $28 million a year. That's not worth $28 million a year. You know what $28 million a year should get you? It should get you Miguel Cabrera. It should get you 300 average, 30-plus home runs, 100-plus RBIs. Albert Pujols-type numbers. Not, 270, 16 home runs, 60 RBIs.
Now,
that's pathetic.
Is it really fair, though, Brandon, to say, hey, listen, for that money, he should be contending for a Triple Crown every single year?
Isn't that the reason that you pay him?
Well, it's so rare,
I'm not saying that you have to contend for a Triple Crown, but you have to give me more than 270, 16, and freaking 50. That's pathetic.
All right, Ryan?
I'm on the other side. I think A-Rod deserved the contract. If you look at, and I'm going to give you some stats, but I have to thank an unnamed source for these stats. All right? It was a great help. Okay. But 2007, A-Rod hit .314. Right? .422 on base percentage. MVP of the league, of the AL. All-star. Let's see. Prior to 2008, this guy had already amassed 518 home runs.
Yep.
A beast. Hall of Fame baseball player. You can't argue those numbers. Three MVPs, 11 All-Star appearances, right? At the age of 32. In 07, his second best, 54 home runs, okay? This is when he signed the contract, correct?
Yep. Okay. Well, yeah, going into the 2008 season, okay. He signed the 10 million.
So the year prior,
contract,
he had hit 54 home runs.
Yes.
Okay. Second best all-time for him.
Yes.
Personal best, 156 RBIs.
Beef.
Personal best, .422 on base percentage. Those are beastly numbers, as you
yes.
would say, beef.
Oh, beef.
Right? How does he not deserve a contract of what he signed?
I'm not saying that he didn't deserve the contract. I'm saying that he hasn't lived up to the contract.
Also, in that year, he was an all-star. Again, the MVP.
Oh,
the
I
league.
Agree. Pre-08.
Silver slugger.
Pre-08, he was a beast. But if you give someone 10 years... 20 plus mil a year, I can't settle for 16 home runs and 18 home runs halfway through.
Now, do you agree with Jeter's contract? Because last year he signed for what, 25 mil? And he's almost
something in the neighborhood.
40.
Well, yeah, but he's the year before that, he hit you 300.
I just read you all stats.
Well, I
agree. Showed you
that's what I'm saying.
At the time of his contract, he's hitting 314.
That's what I'm saying. My argument is not that he didn't deserve the contract.
That's the argument.
My
he
argument
deserved
is that
the contract.
He hasn't lived up to the contract. He sucked horribly since 08.
He did not.
He has sucked. No, since 08. Okay, as I said, I'll give him 09. He's been good. 09, he won them the World Series. But since then, the guy has been a bum. You can't tell me that since 2010 he's done anything. He hasn't. He's been shit.
He's been injured.
Excuses are excuses.
That's not an excuse. That's health.
You got to turn your mic. It flanges. You got to turn.
I'm good. I'm sorry.
There
I'm
it
sorry.
Is.
I apologize. Anyways,
there we
since
go.
2010.
It flanges.
He's been horrible. The guy's been... He's not lived up to a 10-year contract. And this is
Hold
why
on.
I don't
Hold
believe
on,
in 10-year
wait.
Contracts.
Redo your argument, because we were talking over the beginning
Which
of
part?
The whole thing. At that
Oh, my God.
No. So, where...
Okay. What I'm saying is since... since 2009, he's been horrible. 2008, do you have his numbers by 2008 by chance?
No? Pre-2008.
You don't have okay.
What we're talking about, we are talking about his statistics up to now, but yeah. We're talking about, is he worth the contract?
He's definitely not worth the contract now.
But was he worth it?
You definitely can't argue pre.
At the time he signed the contract, he was worth
it. I just don't think worth a $10 million contract. Because I think a 10-year contract, because if you sign someone at 32 for 10 years,
I think we have staggering here.
42 years.
Somebody into the ground.
Look,
with the numbers and the argument that that Ryan made there. Ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at a new champion.
Hey, I like it.
A knockout. Well, and that wraps it up for us here this week. Be sure to check us out at the same time next week. That's Fridays from 8:30 to 9:30 on MRN Broadcasting. WCSB Sports, powered by blogtalkradio.com.